Now, I keep getting my Wednesday night and my Sunday morning messages mixed up, and so it's hard for me to really remember where I was last week at this time. But I want to talk to you tonight about something, about being blessed. It's a real simple message tonight, but it's very profound. And I want to start here in Numbers 23, verse 8. Now, let me just set the stage here. There was a king named Balak, and all of Israel had come out of Egypt, and there's roughly 6 million people had come in. So that's a lot of people. Everybody says a lot of people. So that's like standing up on top of the hill out there, and you're looking over the canyon, and 6 million people move in, are going to come into your canyon and go through. So, you know, you get a little worried. So the king, he didn't want them there. But he felt like the army was too great and he couldn't defeat them. It's just too many Israelites. And so he didn't want to go down and just wage war against them because he felt like he'd lose. So he went and he hired a prophet, a man. We don't know a lot about Balaam. We know that he was a rat, but he had some form of relationship with God, Jehovah God, because he was a preacher, but he was a sorry dog, to say the least. And so anyway, he went and he hired Balaam, and Balaam would, you know, he was like a lot of people that have maybe a good intention to serve the Lord, but it doesn't take much to get them sidetracked. And so Balaam, anyway, he goes up there, and so the king hired him to go curse Israel, because the king felt like that if Balaam would pronounce a curse over Israel, that then he could defeat them. That was his thinking. And so he told Balaam that I'll make you wealthy, I'll honor you, you'll be, you know, the big dog, spiritual guy, the whole whatever, if, you know, the kingdom, if you just come and do this favor for me. And so Balaam saw dollars, he saw fame, he saw fortune, he saw his life set up and everything he wanted to do. And so, but he told him, he told the king, I can't just flat out right go up there and curse them because I am a prophet of God. I have to let the Spirit of God speak through me. And so I got to say whatever God tells me to say. All right. And so the king says, yeah, no problem, because he's figured he's got it, you know, in the bag that Balaam will curse them for him and everything will be over with. So he goes up and he commences three times to curse Israel. And the first time he says this in verse 8, he gets up there, he gets all ready to speak his oracle. That's where I was last. We're speaking his oracle. It says that in verse 7, it says, and he took up his oracle and he said, or he took up his, the word there literally in the Hebrew means his prophetic utterance. And what I was talking about last week was what's your utterance that comes out of your mouth about your life and your future and what you're believing. Okay. What comes out of your mouth? What's your prophetic oracle of your prophetic word that comes out of your mouth about your life, your family, your business, your everything? Okay. So he gets up there to pronounce this, what he's kind of hoping is going to be a good curse, because he wants to get paid. But instead it comes out as a blessing. And he says in verse 8, he said, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? From the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills, and I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. And so he ends up speaking a blessing, but he makes this statement. He says, I can't curse what God has not cursed. Now listen to me, church. I want you to understand something. If you are blessed by God, then there's nothing that can take that blessing away. Listen to me. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed. Nothing can come against his authority or his power and change the blessing into a curse. I'll tell you how we can walk out of the blessing, how we can mess everything up, but I'm not talking about that at this moment. So don't go ahead. I see already people preaching ahead in their heads. Okay? If God said it's blessed, if God calls a thing so, it's so. No matter what the devil does, he can take a vote in hell and it ain't going to count. People can amass against you and take a vote. It isn't going to count. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed. Amen? So now let's look at the next one over here. If you go on to, I'm still in chapter 23, but now I'm in verse 19. He speaks again and he says, God is not a man that he should lie. Man, I'm so glad of that. I believe most of the problems that people have is they keep trying to reduce God to be like man. Amen? They think, you know, they can't relate to their heavenly father because they had a bad earthly father. Well, wait a minute, that's two completely different things. They're not even close. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? You see, how many of y'all have ever attempted to do something and you had the best intentions to do it and you said you're going to do it, but then you got into such complications trying to do it you couldn't get it done? God never runs into that. God never runs into a situation in life that he is trying to get you blessed or he is trying to do something that he can't do because the obstacles are too great, and finally he has to give up and said, I guess it just can't be done. It doesn't happen. Jeremiah 32:27 says, God is the God of all flesh and there's nothing too hard for him. Part of the principle of understanding and having faith in your heart that God can do miracles or God can work in your life or God can change situations, part of that faith stems from the ability to believe just this, that there's nothing too hard for God. All right? If you say, well, yeah, I know, but God, you know, I don't know if he can do that. Well, see, your faith is limited. You've already hindered your faith. You've already thrown a wet rag on everything. You're not believing that God can do anything. When people have trouble understanding about the miracles in the Testament, how did God part the Red Sea? He really didn't part the sea. How did Jesus walk on the water? He couldn't walk on the water. You can't do that. Well, it's just, you're just saying that, well, God can't change the molecular structure of water that he made anyway? I mean, you're telling me that, you know, there's a whole boat full of liars? Now, with me? You tell me God can't do that? You can't. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. The Old Testament, when it says when Joshua was fighting a battle and he said that for the sun to stand still so they could finish the battle that day, and it did. And people said, well, that can't be. How could that happen? This can't happen. Why can't it? See, if you put God on the same level as man, then those are things that are impossible. But God's not a man that he should lie. God's not operating. He is not. Listen, we are the created element of him. We're not the creator. I mean, why do we think that God, who just took 6 days to make everything that we see and everything's reproducing and everything's just breathing life and everything is, you know, just needs some water and it grows? And the God that did that in just 6 days would have problems with whatever's going on in your life? And you could have some really bad things going on in your life, but I'm telling you, God's bigger than that. You can't tell me God can't get it done. I can't go with that. I just can't. I can't accept it. And I have been accused of being a naive country boy. And I just say, praise God. You know, praise God. I don't have to try to understand everything. I can just say, God, you're God, man. You're God. You made it. You created it. You're not a man that you're going to lie. He goes on and says, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? That means every promise, everything that's contained within this scripture, Yeah, let me read this one. Hold on. Don't go away. It says nothing to do with the message. I was reading this one. Here we go. You don't even have to go there in your Bible. This is just my daily reading. I read this. Psalm 71:9. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. I'm just glad I got a promise right there. Right there. God says he's not going to forsake you when you get old. When your strength fails, he doesn't leave you alone and say, you're worthless. You're just an old codger. You can't do nothing anymore. It's a promise. He says, behold, verse 20, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So he goes up to curse the children of Israel. He's looking down on the mountain at them. He's going to pronounce a curse. He said, wait a minute, I can't curse them because God spoke a blessing over them. Now, was all of those 6 million people, were they nice people? Rats, weren't they? But they were blessed rats. I was talking about how last week I talked about how that he was trying to curse them and how many things in life that are going on in your life that you don't even know is taking place, that there's somebody up on the mountain trying to curse you and you don't even know it. But wait a minute. See, if God has blessed you and God says you're blessed, then you're blessed. That's it. Nothing that the enemy can conjure up, nothing that all the demon hordes of hell could bring against you could take the blessing off your life. I mean, we could just say amen and go home on that. Chew on that all night long. Right? The problem with this is that we think blessing has to do with whatever we see in the natural monetarily coming our life. In other words, if everything in life is going easy and everything is just lining up perfectly and there's no stress or strain in life, well, then we say, oh, yeah, we're really blessed. But if things get wrong and things get haywire and things get tired, we say, man, what's going on, Lord? What do you mean? You got some, you know, what's happening here? You know, what's up? I feel like I'm living under the curse, Lord. Now listen, I just want to say something. My days don't always go like I want them to go. But I'm so glad that I'm saved and I met Jesus. And that the torment and turmoil in my life that was there when I didn't know Jesus is gone. I'm so glad that no matter how crazy things can get in my head, I can always stop and pray and say, Jesus, man, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that you're my Lord and Savior. I thank you that I confess with my mouth. I believed in my heart in you, Jesus. You became real to me, and I accepted you into my life. Thank you, Jesus. Because that's the day the blessing of God came upon you that was pronounced eternally over your life that you're blessed. You're not blessed because things go right. You're blessed because you're blessed. Things start going right when you realize that you're blessed. Isn't no song we used to sing? I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. It's a big difference when you try to live life by looking at your surroundings and determine if you're blessed, or if you live life by what's on the inside of you telling you that you are blessed. Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of God in the turn of the century, he said he used to wake up every morning and tell his body how it felt, not wait for his body to tell him how he felt. It's a whole nother realm of faith there. Just because there's obstacles in life doesn't mean God's not with you. Just because there's problems, it doesn't mean that God's not with you. It doesn't mean that that's not. It doesn't mean that the blessing. Listen, if you determine right now and you can hear this message tonight and get walk away with this one thing, that because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the blessing of God was pronounced over your life and you're blessed. And nothing can take it away. No demon hoarding hell can take it away. Nothing can take it away. You can be deceived and walk out of the blessing. You can speak it out of your mouth. Oh, man, I'm cursed. I guess curse come upon me. I messed up. Oh, the devil can get you off and get you sidetracked and get you over there in a place you shouldn't be. And you not walk in the blessing. Okay? But you're still blessed. Right? Now, if you wake up every morning and you realize that God is for you, he has blessed you. And when you're going to go about whatever you're doing, that his all of heaven is set behind you and it's all for you to bless you. That's a good place to be. Then when something comes up and it's an issue, you can stop and say, all right, Lord, I know I'm blessed. I know that the blessing of God's upon me. You want me blessed. You said goodness and mercy follow me. You said that wealth would chase me down, that blessings would chase me down, Lord. And this isn't going right. So what's up? What do you want me to, what should I be doing? There's no issue that it's not blessed. There's no issue that your word isn't going to be performed. There's no issue that I don't win this battle. But how do you want me to take this giant's head off? Goliath kept coming out into the valley and taunting the armies of Israel and saying, man, you know, your God's not God. He's not going to make it. He can't do it. And then David walked up there one day. And what was the difference? Because David believed in his heart that he was blessed. David walked up there knowing that God was with him because God said he was with him. God said that he would be with him because he'd be with all the children of Israel. But all the army that was up there, the big fighting, strong, you know, special forces, you know, guys up there, they were scared of the giant because they listened to what the giant had to say every day. They listened to the giant. 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 And before long, the giant had them convinced that he was the giant. And David walked up there, you know, just bringing some cheese and some bread to his brothers and like, hey, what's going on? Oh, the giant down there says he's going to come. What is he saying? He heard what the giant said. He says, can't believe he'd talk like that. Why didn't somebody go down there and kill that guy? And everybody looked at him and said, what's the matter with you? Who do you think you are? Come up here. Because he embarrassed him is what he did. Because he had faith. And he embarrassed him that he just said, why didn't somebody go kill that guy? And so then everybody says, well, what happens? What does a guy get that kills a giant? And he said, I'll give him, King said he'd give him his daughter and all this, but ain't nobody going to live killing that giant. And David's just like, I'll kill it. And he didn't, listen, if you go read the story, it says that he went down there and he picked up five smooth stones and he put in his bag, right? You mean he didn't have anything? He set off to kill the giant with nothing but the sling. He didn't even have anything to throw. He had to stop and get him some ammunition. Right? I mean, don't you think if you were, I mean, I don't know. If I was going to have to go, if I was David at that moment, I'd have thought, okay, now I need to find a really good rock. Now, or I would have already had, you know, a pouch full of rocks just in case. All right, wouldn't you? He had to go find something to kill the giant with. That's confidence. That is confidence. He's like, okay, well, who's going to kill him? I'll kill him. Or I said, get a rock. Find a rock around here. Gets him one, puts it in his sling, gets four more. Only going to need one for he knew he had four more brothers. He'd get rid of the brothers later. And so just needed one for this guy. I mean, folks, that is knowing God is with you. These people, these children, the Israelites are down there in the valley and they don't know somebody's trying to curse them and they don't know they're blessed. They don't know nothing. They're just wandering through the valley of life, just trying to get from living to dying, and never knew that the hand of God was on them. So Balaam tries to curse him. He can't curse him. Now, jump over, and I want to show you something. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Let's just think about this blessing. I told you the blessing comes on you when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but let's just read this. How does this happen? Let me show you something. Verse 10, Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, in the Old Testament of the law, if you didn't do it, then you were cursed. If you did do it, you were blessed. The problem was nobody could ever do all the law or keep all the law and keep all its ordinances and keep all its covenants because there was too many of them. It was too hard. It was too difficult. There was no way to do it. So no matter what, you were always going to fail. And Christians today, if we live a life trying to think that if we do good deeds, then God's going to like us more, you're living under the same Old Testament law as they did, even though you're keeping your own sets of covenants and ordinances. It's amazing what we will deem is good. Right? Jesus says there's only two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor yourself, right? And so then the guy that he was telling it to said, well, yeah, but who's my neighbor? You know, like, you know, is that 100 yards from the house or, you know, who do I consider my neighbor? I mean, of course, it's just right here. You know, we'll just be local town, right? I mean, we'd have to go outside of the city limits, do we? That's not really our neighbor. Y'all with me? He was immediately trying to justify because there was somebody down the road he didn't want to have a relationship with. He didn't want to love somebody. Somebody down the road he didn't want to forgive. So he's trying to figure out where the boundary is. And if it would have been too close, he'd probably just moved. And that way he could have lived his life and been justified because that's it. And that's what we want to do in life. We want to just find out where those boundaries are and then just live as close to the boundary as we can so that we don't have to cross over that line and do something about it. All right? Isn't that the truth? It's our human nature. So God says, there's no way they're ever going to keep it. There's no way my blessing can extend to them over everyone who believes in me. Because if they try to keep the law, they're always going to be determining this thing. And they're never, well, somebody says, well, you got to do this and this and this, and then you're blessed. And somebody else says, no, you just got to do this and this. Right? Isn't that why we have so many churches today and so many different thoughts and all this and that and the other, because everybody's come up with their own ideas of what it's supposed to be to bless instead of just reading the Bible and seeing what God said. So he says, cursed is everyone who does not commit all things which are written in the book of the law. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Jesus has settled it. He said, I'll take the curse, I'll take it all upon me, and so it all falls on me, so then they're clean, and so, okay, everybody that believes in me is the Son of God, and trust in me as their Lord and Savior, then that person receives the blessings of Abraham upon them. Okay, go to Genesis 12, because now you got to know what the blessing of Abraham was. You can't know what you got till you see it here and what the blessing is. Now think about Abraham. I know Tracy told me she was preaching a little bit about Abraham in the Sunday school class. And Abraham was a man. He was nothing special about him in the sense that he was just a rock worshiper. He lived with his family and all, but he heard God speak one day. Now, faith is about hearing God speak and then doing something about it. right? There's a whole lot of people in this world know that they shouldn't do something because it's wrong. But there's not a whole lot of people that will know that it's not right because Jesus said it wasn't right and invite him into their lives so they don't ever do it again. That's something different. You can know about Jesus. You can hear about Jesus. You can read all the messages. You hear all the sermons. You can listen to it on the radio. You can sing all the songs. But it has to do something with you and your heart and faith and believing that he is the Son of God and do what he's supposed to do before it ever is really going to take effect in your life. So Abraham heard God speak. And he said, get out from your country, from your family, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and I will bring a I will make a great nation. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, let's just reduce this to its simplest form. Abraham was a rock worshiper, heard God, left, and did what God said. And today, all of the Jews, all of the Muslims, and all of the Christians acknowledge this man as the father of their faith. And he was one man who heard the voice of God and left and did what God told him to do. It's pretty amazing. Don't you know that Abraham at some time, because you know the story, he couldn't even have a son and his wife was barren and it wasn't until they had a kid until they were 100 years old. And you can imagine Abraham sitting here at times, sitting outside looking at the stars saying, God, how is all the world, how's all the families in the earth going to be blessed by this? How is this going to work? You know, he had no idea to know we're going to end up this day in this place, right? But they did something. God finally got Abraham to understand what he meant by being blessed because he changed his name. He had to have a kid. And he couldn't get it done because he couldn't believe God. Sarah was barren. They hadn't had any children. He'd already messed up. He'd done everything wrong. And so God finally said, I got to do something. I don't know if God said it like this. Just let me say that, okay? God finally said, I got to do something. I can see God talking to Jesus. And say, look, we got to do something. This guy ain't getting it right. He still can't get it through his thick head. And Jesus changed his name. So that then his name went from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of a nation. Or father of many. And so it was got to have been embarrassing for them. Because they don't have any kids, and everybody knows Sarah's barren, and they know they've been trying to have kids, and they're old. And everybody starts having to call him Abraham. So everybody's walking up to him saying, hello, father of nations. Right? I mean, he's real. Abraham is real. It's not like he's like, woohoo, you know, Twilight Zone. This is not some story. This is real. If they walked up to a man and that is his wife is barren and she's never had any kids and they start calling him father of nations, it would just get all over you. Right? But finally, it got in him. It got in him that God called him to be a father of nations. And when that got in him, because he kept hearing it over and over and over again, everybody came to him and said, Abraham, what are you supposed to do? Abraham, what are you supposed to do? Because he was the ruler. He was the you know, el jefe. Right? The patron. Everybody had to talk to him to find out what was going on today. So everybody called him all day long. Abraham, yeah, cow's out over here. What do you want us to do? Yeah, go get the cow. And Abraham, yeah, we got to go to this. It's always Abraham, 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 father of nations, father of nations, father of nations. Until one day, faith hit him, and he understood what was going on. Right? the same with the blessing of God. God said to him, you're blessed, but it didn't hit him. And it's like that with faith. When you enter into a level of faith and you finally come to this, it's not like you've extended to the heights of heaven and now you believe, oh, I was up in there and I was out early one morning, I saw a bright light. You might have been almost getting hit by a car. You don't have to have that kind of experience. You just have to, someplace inside of your heart, you have to come to the reality that if God said you're blessed, then you're blessed. That means if you're blessed, sickness has no place to be living in your body. If you're blessed, and it's a revelation to you, like Abraham, Sarah, and you know Isaac's on the way, then nothing that this stinking world can throw at you can overcome you. You can't run out of finances because he's your financier. Nothing. And then he goes and he says, listen, all things are possible for God. Oh, and by the way, nothing's impossible for you either. That's what Jesus said. Well, nothing's impossible if we'll get into that realm of believing of what the Word says, that we're blessed. Start off at that simple place. That no matter how it wants to, this world wants to turn and twist and cheat. And listen, they can be cheaters and liars all they want to out there, but they can't take away your blessing. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. The demon hordes of hell cannot amass against you. And take away your blessing. You're blessed because God said you're blessed. You're not blessed because you did everything right. You're not blessed because you do everything and don't make any mistakes. You're not blessed because you didn't get mad and you weren't jealous or you didn't, you know, think about cheating or whatever. Whatever it may be that you're tempted with in life, I don't know. You're not cursed because the enemy got you to slip up and now he's going to keep you in guilt, living in guilt because you messed up. No. You just don't. You got to get back. You got to turn it around. If you're blessed, you're blessed. And if God blessed you, then you're blessed. And yeah, you may have made a mistake and you maybe need to repent and you maybe need to get all that stuff right. But that doesn't mean you lost the blessing. And so now for you're not blessed anymore. Amen? So I just challenge you. Start looking at your own self, looking at your own, what's coming out of your own lips. And see, this is what I am. I have to admit this. I just tell it because I don't want to be a, people say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't want to ever be accused of being a hypocrite. A hypocrite is an actor. I'm real. All right? I'm not acting. And I get my days that I want to gripe and complain. And I stop myself and I catch myself, and I'm not griping and complaining because I think I'm going to lose something. I'm griping and complaining because I just don't want to have to walk through it. There's a difference. I'm going to win. I'm going to come out on top. There ain't nothing on the inside of my heart that makes me think I'm going to lose. That there's not going to be victory, that God is not going to deliver me, that I'm not going to see the light of day. I just don't want to have to walk through it. That's what I'm complaining about. Amen? I don't want to pay my taxes any more than anybody else does. All right? I mean, I gripe and complain about everything that's going on. The cheating, lying, spending too much, everything going on. Oh, I can just get myself worked up just a little bit. Don't take me hardly anything. Just talking about that made my stomach hurt. But no matter what goes on, I'm blessed. Ain't nobody going to curse me. Amen? And whatever I count as loss is just going to have to get multiplied and come back around some other way. God's going to give it back to me sevenfold. Thief can't steal from me. They're not going to get back sevenfold. I don't know how it all works out, but it's got to work out somehow. I just get tired of walking through it. So I do a little griping and complaining until my wife tells me, no, you need to shut up. I'm tired of listening to you. And I say, yes, dear. I'll start working on that first thing in the morning. Amen? So you're blessed. Look at the person beside you and say, you're blessed. Amen. Come on, Joe.